Not hot? What can I tell you? It's hard to compare to the last man I saw naked. Oh, God. Sweetheart, you can't compare anything to Ford. He's gorgeous and young. If you let that be your standard, you'll die an old maid. Comparison is the thief of joy. Don't do it. I know. I really do. It's just going to take some time. I got up and refilled the chip bowl, setting it down on the coffee table in front of Eve. Mark called me last week.
Oh, yeah? I liked him. He seemed like a nice guy.
He is. We actually talked on the phone for over an hour. He said he'd been going back and forth for 2 weeks on whether to call or not. But he wanted to check in and see how I liked teaching. It was really good to hear from him. He had some pretty funny stories to share about his first 2 weeks. He's teaching in a tough neighborhood in Brooklyn.
And?
He asked how things were going with Ford and me. I said it had ended. He suggested we get together to catch up soon. But I think he knows things between us are only ever going to be platonic.
Why? You should go out with him. Get back out there.
Oh, my God. The last time you pushed me to go out with someone, I got my heart broken.
Yes, but you got yourself back out there. It had been 20 years since you spent time with a man. Actually, you'd never spent time with a man because back then they were just boys.
This was just a summer. It will be easier to get back out there this time than it was after a 2-decade marriage. I wasn't so sure Eve was right about that. I'll think about it. She smiled.
That's my girl. Hey, babe.
Does he ever listen to anything I say? I should have gone with my first instinct when I'd seen my ex-husband's name flash on my cell.
If we're going to call each other nicknames, I'm going to use the one I favored after you moved out.
He ignored my comment.
Listen, about the summer place.
Great. I get to talk to you and be reminded about my summer with Ford all in one conversation.
What about it? The piling fix will cost about 30 grand. But that's just a band-aid. We need all the stilts replaced in the next 5 to 7 years to repair it correctly, and that's almost twice the price.
Wonderful. And I'm responsible for half of that, according to our divorce settlement. I don't have that kind of money. You know I just went back to work.
Yeah, I don't have it either. That's why I think we should dump the place.
What? No!
The market out there is hot right now. We could get almost 5 times what we paid for it 15 years ago.
Yes, but then what? Neither of us would be able to afford a replacement.
You might be able to pick up a small place up toward the lighthouse that isn't on the beach. I don't really even like it out there anymore, so I wouldn't rebuy.
I love our house. We can't sell it.
Well, if we don't do something, it will fall into the water within the next few years. That'll solve our problem.
God, he really was always a jerk. We do need to do something. Pay for the repair.
So you're going to come up with 60 grand then?
60? 30 would be my half.
Told you I don't have the 30 either.
But our divorce agreement requires us to each pay half.
Can't pay what I don't have.
Ryan made a good salary. Although he was paying me alimony and paying college tuition and still had to foot the bill for his own house, I wanted to argue with him and say that was his problem, but it was actually our problem. And it became my problem if I wanted to keep the summer place.
What if we take a mortgage on the Montauk house to pay for the repair? I can't afford another payment, Val.
I'll pay it. I have a job now. You only have 2 more years of alimony. When that's done, you can help me pay it off.
See if you can even get a mortgage and we'll talk about it. Otherwise, I don't think we have a choice but to sell it.
Great. I'm sure the bank will love my 1 month of employment history.
Chapter 30. Ford, is that you? Shit. I started passing by Eve's restaurant pretty much every day, but it was the first time in 4 weeks that I'd run into her. I'd made it a few steps past the door when she opened it and called after me. Oh, hey, I was just passing by. I have an appointment a few blocks away or I would have stopped in to say hi. Yeah, right. Eve gave me a suspect smile, but I wasn't sure which part of my bullshit she wasn't buying. She thumbed toward the restaurant behind her. I was setting the table, getting ready for dinner reservations, when I saw you walk by. I nodded and shoved my hands into my pockets. I really was a shit liar. How's it going? She tilted her head.
Good. Busy. You?
Good. Good. I had to ask. It would have been rude not to. How's Valentina doing? She seemed to think about the answer before speaking.
She's doing amazing. Loves her job. Met an Italian teacher. Getting back into the swing of things.
An Italian teacher? Apparently, I needed it spelled out for me. Eve shrugged, as if the next words weren't going to make me feel like she'd kicked me square in the nuts. She's taking it slow, of course. The whole dating scene is new for her.
I swallowed and nodded, but my expression went from bullshit happy to wounded. I gotta run.
Right. Eve smiled like she'd enjoyed delivering the blow.
You're meeting nearby. I guess you have a lot of those. You should get to that. Take care of yourself, Ford.
The entire night and next morning, I was fucking useless. I sat in on a meeting and read a few emails, but I couldn't tell you what the hell either was about. Thankfully, it was Friday. I walked out of my office at only 2 o'clock. My assistant looked up.
Late lunch today.
I shook my head. I'm going to take a ride over to the Long Island City property, just to check in. I won't be back. If you need me, you can reach me on my cell.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too, Esme. I walked to work, but kept my car parked in a garage a few blocks from the office. Since it was still early, I managed to navigate through the city and out the tunnel in less than a half hour. My mind was stuck replaying everything about Valentina over and over again. From the time we spent together to what Eve had said last night. The only good thing was that being so sorry for myself about what I'd lost kept me from thinking about my father and all the shit that had gone down in Chicago. It was a beautiful, warm day. We wouldn't have too many of those left now that it was almost mid-October. So I decided to get off the expressway at the next exit and pull over to put the top down on my car. Some fresh air might help to clear my head on the half-hour drive. But as the roof lifted off the top of my car, instead of blue sky, all I saw was a billboard. A giant damn Match.com advertisement that had to be 3 stories tall. I laughed sardonically and shook my head. Forget fate, it read. Take your future into your own hands. Join Match.com today. She's waiting for you. The universe is really fucking with me today. Yeah, I grumbled. She's not waiting for me. I took a deep breath, put the car into drive, and turned on the radio, only to have the song end and a new one come on, one by the Backstreet Boys. I reached down to turn it off, but couldn't bring myself to push the damn button. Forget fate. It was pretty hard to when it was busy throwing shit in your face. Long Island Expressway West, Manhattan. The large green road sign up ahead showed an arrow pointing to the 2 left lanes. The sign next to it had an arrow pointing right. Long Island Expressway East, Eastern Long Island. Home was left, yet when I came to the fork in the road, at the last second, I jerked the car right and took the turn to get on heading east. Why? I had no fucking idea. It just felt like I needed to go out to Montauk for some reason. Maybe I needed to clear my head. I wasn't sure. Though going to the place that reminded me of my parents' sham of a happy marriage and the woman I loved who just started dating another man probably wasn't the best place to find clarity. But once I got on the road, there was no turning back. For some reason, it was where I needed to be today. The fall traffic wasn't too bad, and I pulled down Old Montauk Highway just as the sun started to go down. I still had the top down, and the air temperature seemed to drop 20 degrees between the loss of daylight and the breeze blowing off the ocean. Montauk was a ghost town this time of year. Most of the driveways were empty as I passed, including the one next to mine. Not that I'd expected anyone to be around. I pulled into our adjoining driveways, the sound of gravel crunching under my tires reminding me so much of summer. With no suitcase or any bags at all, I parked and took a deep breath of the fresh air before getting out. Closing my eyes, I smelled the ocean and summer. Maybe this really was what I needed to feel better. Though, that fleeting thought didn't last long. In fact, it disappeared the moment I opened my eyes and started to get out of the car. What the fuck? What the actual fuck?
How had I not noticed that when I pulled into the driveway? I'd come out here searching for something, maybe a sign that it was time to move on. But what I hadn't expected was that sign to be literal. Greeting me from the lawn next door was just that. Sotheby's. For sale. Exclusive listing. I felt like I was sitting in someone else's house. Like I'd walked into an Airbnb I'd rented for the weekend, rather than the back deck of a place where I'd pretty much felt at home my whole life. It was fucked up to feel like I didn't belong here anymore when this summer it had felt like the only place I belonged. What a difference in a short period of time. I'd considered going into town and picking up a bottle of, well, anything in order to forget the sign outside. But I'd come out here for clarity, and drowning my sorrows would only make things blurrier. So instead, I sat on the back deck and finished watching the sun go down. I looked over at the empty deck next door and then back to the spot where we'd first danced to her favorite music. She'd smelled so good that day. I took a deep breath in and closed my eyes. I might have been nuts, but I could actually smell her scent, see her laughing as I took her in my arms, feel the way her soft body felt pressed up against mine. That's what felt like home now. Without her, everything felt empty. It wasn't the house or the place. It was me inside. I opened my eyes and the most fucked up thing happened. Right where I'd imagined myself dancing with Valentina, I saw my parents dancing, the same way they used to. My mother wore that white flowy dress she used to put on after she got out of the shower, and my dad had on navy blue swim trunks. They looked so goddamned happy. What a farce. I sat outside, seeing things that weren't really there for a long time, until it was so dark I couldn't see the deck next door anymore. Then I went inside. I figured I'd crash here for the night since it was late. The end-of-season cleaning crew had stripped all the beds, so I went up to my parents' room where the spare blankets were kept and planned to just sleep on the couch. But when I pulled a blanket down, something came tumbling down along with it, straight to the floor and smashed all over the place. My parents' mason jars. One of them, anyway. The other I saw tucked into the back of the closet behind the rest of the blankets. Great. Just what I needed. Shattered glass to clean up and more memories of a life that was built on a lie. I went to the kitchen closet to grab the broom and dustpan, and then back upstairs to the bedroom to sweep up the glass. God knows why, but I picked the folded little strips of paper out of the glass pile and set them aside on the dresser. Without looking at them, I wasn't even sure whose they were, my mother's or father's. After I finished cleaning up, I scooped up the papers and opened the top drawer to put them in there for the time being. But as I went to close the drawer, I couldn't do it. I picked up one of the little slips and stared down at it in my hand. It felt like an invasion of privacy to read them, but it also felt like I was here for a reason, and maybe this was part of it. Fate had been drawing me to this place all day, so why stop now? Wary, I slowly unfolded the first one and read. Because I told you you've been hogging the sheet at night lately, and today you made the bed with two sheets so we could each have one. I smiled. That sounded like something my mother would do for sure. Apparently, I'd gotten my father's jar. That made it feel a little less intrusive, or I gave a shit about intruding on his privacy a hell of a lot less. I took another one from the drawer and unfolded it. Because you swam with Annabella for an hour this afternoon, when all you really wanted to do was sit on the beach and read your book. That was nice. Although it didn't make me any less angry with him for what he'd done. Because when I went into the bathroom to get ready for bed, you'd already put the toothpaste on my toothbrush for me. I kept going. Because you drove all the way to the Hamptons to get the book I'd been dying to read the day it came out and surprised me. I started to get pissed at all the reminders of how good my mother was to my father. How the hell could he step out on her with how thoughtful she was? My jaw set tight as I continued to open them. Because you forgave me when I didn't deserve forgiveness. I froze. Did she know? I'd just assumed since they stayed together that she had no idea. I knew couples got past cheating sometimes, but it had to be a struggle, and I'd never seen any signs of hard times. From the outside, my parents had a picture-perfect marriage. I picked up another slip. There were still a dozen or so left. because you watch The Bachelor just because I love it, even though you hate it. My brows drew together. My father hated that show, yet he sat with my mother while she watched it every week. I went back and reread all of the slips of paper I'd opened already. I'd assumed these were my father's notes, but the closer I looked at the handwriting, the more I realized I'd been reading from my mother's jar all along. But what the hell did he have to forgive her for? I kept going, feeling more wary than ever. The rest shed no more light on what had gone on between the two of them until I came to the very last one. Because while fate decided we came into each other's lives, sometimes we have to fight to stay. And every day, you remind me we're worth the fight. I couldn't sleep. The blood in my veins seemed to be pumping so fast that it made it impossible to even lie down. I paced back and forth in the living room. Everything was just so fucked up. My father cheated on my mother, maybe my mother cheated on my father, or maybe she'd done something else to hurt him. Maybe she knew about his affair and chose to stay anyway. Maybe she'd even had her own. I'd never know, and at this point, I didn't want to know. The most fucked up part of it all was that I was looking at them to figure out how to live my own life. Before I'd gone to Chicago, I'd been so sure of things between Valentina and me. She'd been the one who wasn't sure. And when I'd come back, she'd obviously decided we should give pursuing things after the summer a try, exactly what I'd wanted. And I was the idiot who pushed her away, pushed her back into dating. I shook my head thinking of the photo of her and that guy on Instagram. Great fucking job, Ford. Nice work. If you love something, set it free, and if it doesn't come back, it was never yours. That was a crock of shit. If you love something and set it free, it serves you fucking right. You should have held on to that shit. If she's here next year, that will be a sign. Yeah, I got a sign out here, all right. For fucking sale. I raked my hands through my hair and tugged at the roots. What the hell was I thinking? When you love someone, you don't walk away. Ever. Fuck. 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 I needed to see her. Before it was too late, if it wasn't already.
Chapter 31. You can't force feelings to exist any more than you can force them to go away. My study group get-together tonight was fun, and I was glad I'd decided to stop sulking long enough to go after all. Allison hadn't been able to find a full-time tenure-track position, so she took a job as a district-wide permanent sub. Basically, she played sit down and shut up for 6 42-minute periods a day. She wasn't thrilled, but supposedly an Italian teacher in her district was retiring at the end of the year, and she'd have a foot in the door for that. Desiree had taken a 3-month maternity leave replacement. It seemed Mark and I had been lucky to get full-time spots with benefits for the year. I'd taken the train to the restaurant so I could have a glass of wine or two, and after dinner, Mark offered to give me a lift home. My house was pretty much on his way, so it felt weird to say no. When we pulled up in front of my house, he put the car into park and turned to face me. "Tonight was fun. I'm glad you decided to come." I smiled. "Me too." He caught my gaze.
"So, things with you and Youngblood ended?"
I swallowed. "Yeah." Mark nodded.
"You seemed happy with him."
"I was." He nodded and looked away for a minute.
"If things don't work out with him, I'd love to take you out. As friends. Or more."
It seemed like an odd way to phrase it. If things don't work out with him, after I'd just acknowledged we broke up. Mark saw the confusion on my face. He lifted his chin toward my house.
"Not sure he got the memo you broke up."
I didn't understand, but turned to look where Mark had been motioning. My heart skipped a beat. Oh my God. Ford. He was sitting on my front porch in the dark. I wasn't expecting him.
"I can see that. Are you going to be okay?"
"Physically, yes. Mentally, probably not." Yeah, sure." I wanted to get out of the car, but I couldn't seem to figure out how to move. Luckily, Mark was a gentleman. While I sat there staring at the man sitting in front of my house, he got out and walked around to the passenger side and opened my door. Extending a hand,
He helped me out of the car, though my feet still didn't move. Mark smiled sadly. I'd give you a kiss on the cheek, but I have a feeling that might get my teeth knocked out, so I'm going to just say goodnight. Do you want me to walk you to the door? No, I'm good. I took a few hesitant steps and turned back. Mark? He looked up. Thank you for being such a good friend. He gave a resigned nod. Anytime, Val. Anytime. Somehow I managed to put one foot in front of the other while Mark pulled away. Ford stood when I got to the steps.
Hey.
His voice was raspy, and he looked a little disheveled, but God, he was so damn handsome. Any waning emotions I felt over losing him came barreling back. My pulse started to race full speed ahead just being near him, yet my mind was screaming, run the other way. He had such an intense magnetic pull over me that it was like fighting gravity. What are you doing here? He looked down, and I thought it was an act of shame. Oh my God, is this a booty call?
Can we go inside?
My emotions were jumping all over the place. One minute I felt hope and warmth, and the next I was angry and cold. I walked up the stairs, brushing past him. Go to a bar, Ford. I'm sure you'll have no problem finding someone to go home with for the night.
What?
No. He reached out and grabbed my arm.
That's not why I'm here.
He raked a hand through his hair.
I meant, could we go inside to talk?
I looked into his eyes and saw nothing but sincerity. And maybe a little fear. I nodded. Okay, come on in. My keys jingled in my hand, shaking as I dug them out of my purse and opened the lock. Ford followed me in. I pointed to the living room. Just give me a minute. I'll be right out. I took off my coat and hung it up, then headed straight to the bathroom. I needed a minute to get my head screwed on straight. Though 5 solid minutes didn't even begin to do that, so I went back out just as discombobulated as I'd been when I walked in. Do you want something to drink?
I certainly needed something.
Ford shook his head.
No, thanks.
I went to the kitchen and poured a very full glass of wine.
Your house is really nice. I like the lampshades.
That made me smile. He'd picked the one thing Ryan hated most. Thank you. I forgot you've never been here. Ford was sitting on the chair, so I took a seat across from him on the couch. His elbows were on his knees, and his head was in his hands. I'd initially thought the disheveled look was because he was drunk, but now I could see it was stress. Is everything okay? He shook his head.
No.
Oh, God. I felt that freeze of panic. Is Bella okay? He nodded.
Yeah, she's fine. Everyone is fine.
Okay. He continued to stare down at the floor for the longest time before looking up into my eyes.
Actually, that's a lie. Everyone isn't fine. I'm a fucking disaster.
I set my wine on the table. What's going on? You're making me nervous. He shook his head.
I'm sorry.
After a minute, he got up and moved to the couch next to me. He took one of my hands in his. I attempted to hide the jolt his touch sent through my body by staring down at our joined hands. Eventually, Ford put 2 fingers under my chin and lifted so our eyes met.
I don't know where to start.
Just say whatever is on your mind. The 2 fingers he'd used to lift my chin were still resting beneath it. His thumb reached up and stroked my cheek tenderly.
I've missed you so much.
I closed my eyes. I wanted to hear those words more than anything, but I was afraid to believe they meant more than they did. The last month had been so hard, and I didn't want to go backwards. Ford squeezed my hand.
When I went to Chicago, I found out my father had been having an affair.
What? How?
It's a long story. But basically, the real estate agent mentioned a few things that didn't add up, like meeting my mom a few times when I knew she'd never been to Chicago.
He shrugged.
I followed a trail and wound up face to face with a woman my father had been with for years.
My forehead wrinkled. But that doesn't make any sense. Your parents were the happiest people I knew. They were so in love. He nodded and let out a hefty sigh.
That's what I thought, too. but apparently my father had some sort of midlife crisis. Thought he was missing out on something better since he didn't know what else was out there. He'd been with my mom since high school. We fell silent. I needed to let what he'd said sink in. It seemed unimaginable that either of his happy parents had cheated. But I suppose some people would have said the same thing about my marriage. Are you sure? He shrugged. She admitted it. It went on for years. While the news was mind-blowing, I had to wonder why he hadn't told me before now. Of course, Ryan had been home when Ford returned from his trip, but we'd spent that last night together and had plenty of time to talk. Then it hit me, the words he'd used. Things started to click into place. My dad thought he was missing out on something better since he didn't know what else was out there. They'd been together since high school. I'd been telling Ford all summer how I needed to experience life because I didn't know what else was out there. Finding out about his father must have made him think the same thing would happen between us if we didn't separate. I looked up into his sad eyes. I didn't want things to end. I tried to tell you that on our last night together. He nodded. I know. But I thought that was how it had to be. Thought maybe next summer, after you'd had some time. You wanted me to date until next summer? He scoffed. Fuck no. But I thought that was the way it had to be. What was best for you? I shook my head, afraid to ask the question. And now? Do you still think that's the way it has to be? It probably should be. He paused for a long time and then looked so deeply into my eyes I felt him inside of me. But I'm so damn in love with you, I just can't. Tears filled my eyes. You love me? I loved you almost from the beginning. It just took me a while to admit it to myself because you were so sure we shouldn't be together. I was afraid to get hurt again. I thought if we physically stayed apart, my heart wouldn't get broken. But being physically separated doesn't mean your heart can let go. Ford took a deep breath in and seemed to brace himself. Are you and Mark together? I shook my head. No, not at all. I went to dinner with him, Allison, and Desiree. He just gave me a ride home. And the guy the other night? What guy? The one Eve posted on Instagram. That's her weekend manager. It was taken a year or two ago on his birthday, and we just sung to him after the restaurant closed. He's happily married with four daughters. I don't even know why she posted it the other day. It was so random. Ford let out a long whoosh of air and ran his fingers through his hair. I've been a wreck ever since you reactivated your Match.com profile. I furrowed my brow. I didn't reactivate my profile. No. I haven't signed on since before the summer. It hit me that I wasn't the only one with access to that account. Eve had set it up. A reactivated profile, posting a picture of me on Instagram smiling while sitting next to another man. Something told me those weren't a coincidence. I started to laugh. What's so funny? You, jealous. His brows rose. You think me going out of my mind is funny? I do. It serves you right for dumping me. I'm thinking I should go out on a few dates and post a pictorial on Instagram just for you. Ford's jaw clenched. But he also had to work to hide a smirk. He leaned forward, bent me over his shoulder, and lifted, flipping me onto my back in some stealth move. Hovering over me, he pushed a stray hair from my face. Can we pick up where we left off? You mean sneaking around like teenagers and hiding from my son and your sister? He rubbed his nose with mine. No, I mean falling more in love. I shook my head. I don't think I can, Ford. His face dropped, and the pain in his eyes was truly real. I couldn't hurt him like that, even after what he'd put me through. Reaching up, I stroked his cheek. I can't, because I'm not sure it's possible to fall more in love with you. His chin dropped to his chest, and he let out a deep, low chuckle. You're going to make me pay for a long time, aren't you? I grinned. Oh, yeah. Ford pressed his lips to mine. A warmth that had been missing since the summer immediately spread through my body. God, I'd missed him so much. I'm sorry, he whispered. I should have never walked away. I thought if I let you go, if you came back, you would be mine for good. When someone is already inside of you, you can't just let go of their heart,
The only way to disconnect is to break it.
Yeah, I know that now. Do you remember when you asked me if it was possible to have the right feelings at the wrong time?
I nodded. I was terrified back then.
We both were, just at different times. The truth is, you can never have the right feelings at the wrong time, because there is never a wrong time for the right person.
I looked into his eyes. Let's stop running away from each other. Ford rested his forehead to mine.
I freaking love you, Valentina. I love how you have no rhythm, but it doesn't stop you from dancing. I love how you sneeze when you're nervous and still try to hide that you are. I love the little sound you make when you come, and that you give yourself so completely to me that you don't even know you make it. I love that you went back to school and want to go after all the things you didn't get to do. But most of all, I love you because I have to. I can't not love you. I tried, and it's physically impossible.
God, Ford, I love you too. And I want the whole world to know it, including my son.
Good. I'll give you a hand in passing out the message.
He took hold of my waist, and suddenly I was in the air and plopped back down on his lap, straddling him.
I'll start by telling the guy who dropped you off.
Chapter 32. I tossed my keys on the table and yelled, "Val, I'm upstairs, getting changed. Our reservations are for 8:30. Don't take too long." I'd had a late meeting this afternoon, and tonight had been the winter parent-teacher night at her school, so we were going out to eat. It had been one long-ass week, and it wasn't even Friday yet. Val had been a nervous wreck about meeting with parents, especially with the few students who weren't doing so hot in her class. It didn't help that last weekend, when she'd planned to prepare a little summary of notes on each student, she'd had an unexpected visitor who took up the majority of her free time. Her son had again surprised her, coming home early for winter recess. Well, he'd surprised both of us, actually. Valentina hadn't yet told him about us. She'd wanted to tell him in person when he came home on break, instead of over the phone. Her plan had been to talk to him by herself one night, and then the three of us would go out to dinner a night or two later. But just like all things between Val and me, it didn't exactly go as planned. Ryan's flight was due to land at 8 in the evening last Saturday night. For the last couple of months, we'd been taking turns staying at each other's places. With Bella back at school and her son not around, the two of us had grown pretty comfortable with walking around half-dressed and occasionally fucking on the kitchen floor, if the mood struck. I was as crazy about her as ever, and the mood struck a lot. So it wasn't unusual that I'd woken Val by going down on her and then had my junk swinging in the wind while I made two cups of coffee in her kitchen an hour later. But it was unusual for someone to unlock the front door at 9 in the morning and walk in while said junk was on full display. Ryan's early flight home surprised both of us, all right. I still had the fading remnants of a black eye to show exactly what a damn surprise it had been. Her son punched first and asked questions later. I couldn't say I blamed him. Needless to say, the visual had been a lot harder to swallow than the way his mother had planned to tell him she had a boyfriend now, especially since it was me. I took off my jacket and tossed it over a chair at the kitchen table. The whoosh of air caused a folded piece of mail from the top of a stack to fly off the table and onto the floor. Thinking nothing of it, I bent to pick it up, only the colors of the logo at the top of the letter caught my eye. Green, white, and red. Collocamento Internazionale di Roma. My Italian was rusty, but I knew what it was. My heart sank reading the first line. Dear Miss Di Giovanni, congratulations. We're excited to inform you that we've received your application and one of our consortium member schools has invited you to join their staff for the upcoming school year. I heard the sound of heels clicking down the stairs and then Val's happy voice. I survived, and I'm ready to celebrate that I didn't sneeze on any of the parents. I turned with the letter still in my hand, and the smile fell from Val's face. Oh, yeah, that came today. The direction said it could take up to 12 weeks to find out if you get a placement. I hadn't expected it after only two. It wasn't like it was a surprise that she'd applied. I'd been the one to encourage her not to change her plans. But this made it a reality. I forced a smile. Congratulations. That's great. She walked to me and took the letter from my hands, pressing a kiss to my lips. You're so full of shit. No, I shook my head. It's good news. I just didn't expect it today, I guess, so it caught me off guard. Val sighed. I haven't decided if I'm going yet. I just had to apply by the year-end deadline. You're going. She frowned. Sounds like you can't wait to get rid of me. I wrapped my hands around her waist and locked them behind her back. Not a chance. I'm going to be living for school vacations more than I did in high school. I told you, it's going to take more than an ocean of distance to separate us. I squeezed her to me. This is good. You're going to have a great time, and I'm going to be busy while you're gone, too. Val's eyes widened. You got the building? I nodded. I did. They accepted my offer. I'll soon be the proud owner of one run-down pile of steel. She smiled. That you'll turn into something amazing. After I passed on the building in Chicago, I hadn't really been planning on looking for another project to expand, but one fell right into my lap. I'd picked up Val for lunch at school one day, and we went to a pizza place a few blocks away. After, I pulled into a parking lot nearby so I could kiss her and cop a cheap feel before dropping her back off. The parking lot just happened to be attached to an old run-down warehouse on the outskirts of a nice up-and-coming area. I'd kissed my girl until she made that noise I'd loved so much, and then when I put the car in reverse with a big-ass smile on my face, I looked up and found myself staring at a giant notice of public auction on the building in front of me. I drove back after dropping Val at school, and one thing led to another. I hope so, because right now the place should be condemned. Things between Val and me were serious. Probably more serious than they should have been after 6 months. As fucked up as it was, I'd marry her tomorrow and never look back. But I still thought it was important that she have the experiences she'd wanted to have, that she found herself. Teaching in Rome for a year was a big part of that. Did I want her 4,000 miles away? Fuck no. But I wanted her to be happy more than I hated the thought of her being so far away. She needed to finish off her my turn list. Well, not all of them. There was no damn way she'd be dating 7 different men in 7 nights. But I'd been encouraging her to keep up on the important ones, like teaching in Rome and trying anal. And pushing her to follow her dreams had made me realize it was okay to have my own, too, like expanding the temporary office space business into a new area. It wouldn't be Chicago, but something on my own terms. Since we're on the subject of real estate and travel, Val's face turned gloomy. I signed the contract for the sale of the beach house today.
Oh, yeah? You don't look happy about that.
It's hard. I'm thrilled they offered full asking price, yet it's difficult to be happy about selling it in general. I just have so many memories there of Ryan growing up.
Val hadn't wanted to sell the beach house at all, but her asshole ex-husband had forced her hand. According to her divorce settlement, they had to split the cost of all major repairs. She didn't have the money to fund the major piling replacement that needed to be done, and she also couldn't get a loan since she didn't have a steady work history yet. The beach house meant a lot to her, and I'd offered to give her the money or even lend it to her, but she wouldn't go for it, which was why I'd had to buy it under a corporate name and not tell her. I know. But if it's any consolation, I'm sure the new owner will make great memories, too.
I guess.
I'm sure they'll fuck all over the house. Val cringed.
That's not exactly making me feel better.
Why? The new owner is entitled to make new memories. It shouldn't taint yours in any way. She shrugged.
I guess. It's just hard to think of someone else inside my house, you know?
I pulled her close and whispered in her ear. I know. That's why I bought the house. Valentina's head pulled back abruptly.
What did you say?
I bought the house. For us.
What are you talking about? A corporation bought the house.
And what's the name of that corporation?
B.J. Cummings, Inc.
I raised a brow. I'd been waiting for her to tell me about the name of the corporation, but she never did. And now I knew why. She'd totally missed the joke. Her eyes grew wide.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me? B.J. Cummings? What the hell?
I laughed. There was no way I was letting you get rid of that place, not when I have big plans for it.
Her brows furrowed. What plans? I pushed a lock of hair behind her ear. I'm going to give it to my wife as a wedding gift someday. That's still a few years away, because she's stubborn and needs to go slow. But that's my plan. Valentina's face melted, her eyes filled with tears. That's the sweetest thing anyone's ever done for me. But the fact that you wanted to do it is more than enough, Ford. I can't let you spend that kind of money on a house next door to the one you own. It makes no sense. My sister really loves my parents' house, and while I enjoyed being out there this summer, it was only because of you. I don't want their family home. I want to make my own family with you. Besides, you don't have any choice but to finish the sale. Money is already in escrow, and we have a binding contract. You're unbelievable. I want to at least pay you for half of the house so we own it jointly. BJ Cummings doesn't accept cash. Oh, no. I shook my head. He only takes sex for payment. Is that so? Her eyes twinkled with mischief, and she wrapped her arms back around my neck. Well, then, I'd like to make a down payment right now. We have dinner reservations in 15 minutes. She pushed up on her toes and spoke with her lips against mine. Fuck dinner. Now she was talking. I backed her up to the wall and pinned her against it. Hiding what I'd been up to with her house had been weighing on my shoulders. Secrets had no place in a relationship, and getting it off my chest was a huge relief. It had only been 4 days since I'd been inside of her, but it felt like a year. I buried my face in her neck and started to suck along the delicate skin leading up to her ear. God, I missed you. She panted.
I missed you too. No time to undress. I took off my panties before I came downstairs and slipped them into my purse so I could give them to you during dinner.
I immediately reached under the hem of her dress and slid my hand up between her legs. Sure enough, she was bare. And wet. I groaned. You're soaked for me already. Val slipped her hands between us and started to unbuckle my pants. There was no sexier sight in the world than my girl shaking in a frenzy to get to my cock. Later, when it hit her that I'd really bought her house and told her she'd be getting it as a wedding present someday, I'd make love to her when doubt started to creep in. But right now was all about fucking. Fucking my woman who was going to leave me for months to teach in Rome, and her fucking me because a part of her was scared and angry at what I'd done. I used my hips to keep her pinned to the wall while I helped push down my pants. Val wrapped her legs around my waist. The minute my throbbing cock felt the hot wetness between her open legs, I was done for. I needed to be inside. I gripped my shaft and guided myself inside her. Our groans blended into an achingly erotic song as I simultaneously pulled her onto me and lifted until I sank balls deep inside of her. Then I stilled to take in the feeling. Nothing had ever felt so damn good. I tried to start slow, easing in and out in a smooth rhythm, but it didn't last. Before long, I was pounding into her, but she was right there with me, begging for more, telling me to go harder, faster, more. That word, more, it was everything about how I felt about her. I wanted more, more of her heart, more of her body, just more. I pulled my head back to look at her, and our gazes caught. Val's voice shook.
I love you, Ford.
I love you more. As I came, her body shook, and I mumbled her name over and over.
Thank you, Ford.
And if what we just did is the payment BJ Cummings wants, he'll be getting plenty of those in the future. BJ plans to collect every one of those payments, but this is a 50-year mortgage.
50 years?
Her eyebrows raised.
I don't even want to do the math on how old I'll be by then.
Good, because age is just a number to use to count all the years I'm going to love you.
Epilogue. Almost 2 years later. Go commando under my dress. I peeled the sticky note off the coffee pot and smiled from ear to ear. Ford must have snuck in during the middle of the night to put this here. Considering the girls and I didn't go to bed until after 1 in the morning, he had to have been up pretty late. I laughed to myself. Tom definitely didn't keep him company next door. He conks out by 9. At least he had Ryan over there. After a rocky start,
my two guys had grown close. Lately, Ryan had even been talking about changing his major to architecture. He'd spent all last summer working with Ford on a building renovation, and it seemed to have given him some direction for his career path.
Good morning, almost Mrs. Donovan.
I turned to find my almost sister-in-law rubbing the Sandman from her eyes as she padded into the kitchen.
You're up early.
I reached up and took two mugs out of the cabinet over the coffee pot.
My brother is still a pain in the ass.
What did he do now? Bella squinted and leaned in to read a sticky note on the refrigerator. Her face twisted like she'd smelled something bad.
Really? It's too early to read that from my brother.
I hadn't noticed the other one. I quickly snatched it down. Bend over naked in mirror and send Ford an ass selfie. I chuckled, but then glanced around the room and swiped three other sticky notes. I couldn't have my future husband's sister going blind on our wedding day. Which she might have, considering the other to-do tasks included sneak next door and blow my boyfriend one last time, and insert butt plug to prepare for wedding night festivities. Though the last one confused me a little. Get licked by wedding gift. Bella poured half and half into our coffees and lifted a mug to her lips.
You guys are really gross. You're going to make me toss my cookies.
Did someone say cookies?
Eve wandered into the kitchen. She had on a t-shirt that barely covered half her round belly and a pair of sweatpants rolled underneath it. She scratched her very pregnant tummy. I walked over and dipped my head to talk to my future goddaughter.
Good morning, my little princess.
Or prince.
There's no way my goddaughter is a boy. Even Tom had been pretty shocked to discover they were pregnant 8 months ago. When they first got together, they'd decided to leave having children up to fate. With Eve almost 40 and nothing having happened, she'd pretty much concluded they wouldn't have a family. So it was a shocker when Eve's stomach virus had turned out to be that she was 2 months pregnant. I myself had thought I might be pregnant last week, but I'd taken a test and it was negative. The stress of the wedding and moving into Ford's place must have just thrown off my cycle. Like Eve and Tom, Ford and I had agreed to leave adding more members to the family up to fate. Though, I'll admit, I was a little sad when a minus sign appeared on the stick last week.
Oh, shit. I almost forgot. My brother woke me up for a reason.
What?
He called and said to go to the front door. Apparently, he left a wedding gift for you there, and I'm supposed to bring it to you.
My brows furrowed, and Eve and I followed Bella to the door. I shrieked, finding a cage.
Oh, my God! A puppy!
The adorable little pug started to bark and jump up and down. He was so excited, he kept banging his head on the top of the plastic carrier.
Bring him in, bring him in!
I laughed. He's going to get hurt doing that. Bella carried the cage inside, and I sat on the living room floor and unlatched the metal door. The little guy sprinted out and right onto my lap. He actually knocked me over and started to lick my face.
Well, look at that, Eve said. He reminds me of your fiancé when he first saw you.
Ah, that last sticky note makes more sense now. I'd been bugging Ford about getting a puppy for a few months now, one of the last few items left on my turn list. At first, we'd put it off because of the year I taught in Rome. Then I'd gotten a new tenure-track position at my school, and Ford was busy getting the new temp office space building ready for the grand opening. Life had just been busy the last 2 years. But this summer, our plan was to slow down, and the timing was perfect to train this little guy. Our Memorial Day weekend clam bake wedding was only the start of a long and lazy summer back in Montauk.
I cannot believe he did this. He's so adorable.
I scratched behind his ears, and the puppy's left hind leg started to spasm.
Bella, would you mind getting my cell so I can text Ford? I don't want to let go of this little guy. It's on the kitchen counter.
Bella found my phone and snapped a picture of my new puppy licking my face while I smiled. She showed it to me, and I told her to send it to her brother. A minute later, my phone buzzed with an incoming text.
Ford, I'm jealous of a dog. How do I get me some of that?
I smiled and texted back. My sweet little pup had knocked himself out in less than 2 minutes and was now snuggled in my lap.
Valentina, I'll let you lick my face after you say I do.
Ford,
it's not your face I'll be licking tonight, sweetheart.
Bella groaned.
You two should get a room. I can't even look at you texting each other. You get that... She waved her hand around in front of my face. That look that says you're sexting with my brother. Gross. I laughed. Valentina. BTW, your sister found one of your sticky notes this morning. Ford. What the hell was she doing up before you? Valentina. We were up late, and I slept in. The Montauk air must have wiped me out. Ford. Well, you better relax and save all your energy for tonight. Valentina. I will. And thank you for the puppy. He's so adorable. Though now I have a child out of wedlock for the second time. You couldn't have waited a few hours to give him to me? Wink. Ford. I can come take him back. Valentina. Too late. I love him already. Does he have a name? Ford. Nope. That's all you. Pick something good. Valentina. Are you nervous about today? Ford. Not at all. You're already my forever. This is just a formality. Oh my God. I covered my mouth and stared down at the stick. The plus sign was a deep, dark blue. I must have taken the first test too early. My hand shook, and I just kept whispering, oh my God, over and over. I think I was in more shock than I'd been at 17 the first time it happened. Everything okay in there? Eve knocked on the bathroom door. The sound made me jump. Yeah. Achoo! Everything is fine. I'll be out in a few minutes. All right, 15 minutes to showtime. Don't take too long. I'm pregnant. Oh my God. My son is 21, and I'm pregnant again. My ex-husband and I had tried for years after we had Ryan, so I just assumed it couldn't happen. Then again, Ryan and I never practiced getting pregnant anywhere near as much as Ford and I do. I had my doubts about lots of things with my future husband, but his desire for me was never one of them. The man was insatiable, so I really shouldn't be surprised he'd knocked me up. Oh my God. I need to tell him. I'd gotten him an antique pocket watch for a wedding gift. This was so much better. Still shaking, I tossed the stick in the wastebasket and unlocked the bathroom door. My maid of honor and bridesmaid were downstairs waiting for me. In the excitement, I'd forgotten that this was the first time they were seeing me in my wedding gown. I'd picked a simple lace dress with a mermaid silhouette and slight train. It had a beachy vibe to it and was perfect for a barefoot wedding in the sand. I walked slowly down the stairs. You look, Eve wiped her eyes, gorgeous. You're glowing, Val. I've never seen you so happy. Glowing, good choice of words. I hugged my best friend and almost sister-in-law. Thank you. You both look beautiful. You ready to get married? Actually, no. Eve's smile fell. What's the matter? Nothing, nothing, but I need to talk to Ford before the ceremony. He's already outside on the beach, waiting for you. Can you go out and ask him to come over? It'll just be a minute. Sure, of course. She hesitated. Are you sure everything is okay? I heard you sneezing in the bathroom. I smiled. It's just pollen. I'm good. Eve and Bella went out the back, and a few minutes later, Ford knocked on the door. I thought you didn't want to see me before the wedding because of the silly superstition. My feet were frozen to the living room floor. Ford had to walk to me. I couldn't even meet him halfway. The minute he got a good look at my face, his grew pale. What's going on, babe? Are you nervous? I nodded. He immediately wrapped me in his arms. It's okay. That's normal. Just take a few deep breaths. I did, but it didn't make me any calmer. After a minute, Ford pulled his head back to look at me. You're shaking. I nodded. Ford, I choked up, and a fat tear spilled out and ran down my cheek. He wiped it away with his thumb. Don't cry, baby. Everything is going to be okay. We don't have to do this if you're not ready. Oh my God, no. That's what he thought? I couldn't pull my head together enough to explain, so instead I just blurted, I'm pregnant. He froze. What? I nodded. When I went to put on my lipstick, a wave of nausea came over me from the smell of it. I still haven't gotten my period, and I just got a funny feeling.
The test I bought last week had 2 tests, so I did the second one. It was positive. I'm pregnant. We're pregnant. Ford's head dropped.
Jesus Christ, Val. I thought you were having cold feet. You scared the shit out of me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. He lifted me up off my feet into the air.
You're really freaking pregnant? We're going to have a kid?
I laughed. We are. He spun me around twice and yelled louder. We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. Ford, if you keep spinning me like that, you're going to be getting married with puke all over your shoulder. I've been queasy ever since I tried to put on the lipstick. I thought it was just my nerves, but apparently not.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
He set me down and wrapped me in his arms, so tight I could barely breathe.
I didn't think.
He shook his head.
I just didn't think it would happen. And I would have been fine with that. But now, holy shit. I guess I really wanted this.
I smiled and sniffled back tears. Me too. I didn't actually realize how much so until I saw that plus sign a few minutes ago. I couldn't even wait until after the ceremony to tell you. Ford took my cheeks into his hands and spoke with his lips pressed to mine.
My wife is going to have my baby.
Well, technically I'm not your wife yet. We do have to go outside and get that part over with. There are 50 or so people out there that we're keeping from a clam bake. He kissed me hard.
Let him wait.
After a long, emotional kiss, Ford leaned his forehead against mine.
You know what I just thought of?
That I can't seem to get married before getting pregnant? He chuckled.
No, but that is pretty funny.
What did you just think of then?
Do you remember when we first met? I told you Mrs. Peabody had a dream that I'd met my future wife.
I nodded. I do.
Do you remember what else she said?
I thought back. He said something about her throwing up. She got sick after the premonition, right?
She woke up and smelled cinnamon buns cooking in the oven, and then threw up. Bun in the oven.
I covered my mouth. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Well, that's not the half of it. This morning she called and asked me if I had 2 little girls in our wedding party. I said no. She said she dreamed 2 girls were at our wedding.
I got goosebumps down my arms and my eyes widened. Oh my God. You don't think... Ford shook his head and his smile fell.
Fuck me. 2 girls.
I laughed. We don't know that's true.
Yes, I do. We're having 2 girls, and I'm gonna need a shotgun if they look anything like their mother.
He kissed me again.
Come on. I need to go marry my baby mama so I can at least qualify for some conjugal visits while I'm in prison.
We laughed and walked out onto the back deck together. Down below were all of our friends and family, casually milling around, waiting for the ceremony to start. We stopped at the railing to take it all in. 2 big white party tents were set up right on the beach, and a wooden walkway led from the bottom of the stairs of both houses down to a flower-filled archway. White chairs had been set up on both sides of the wooden path. This little summer town held so many old memories for both of us, and now we would make new ones of our own as a family. I looked around at all of the people waiting to share our day. It was pretty amazing, really. We go through life picking up puzzle pieces, and we never really know where they'll fit or how they'll come together to form the big picture. I'd spent years trying to fit pieces into places they didn't belong, but never really felt complete until today. All of my puzzle pieces finally clicked into place, and I could see the beautiful picture. I took a deep breath and seared the moment into my memory before turning around in Ford's arms. You ready to marry me, Mr. Donovan? He brushed his lips with mine.
I've been waiting my whole life to marry you, Mrs. Donovan. Let's do this.
This has been All Grown Up, written by Vi Keeland, narrated by Sebastian York and Andy Arndt. Copyright 2019 by Vi Keeland. Production coordination by Lyric Audiobooks. Sebastian York and Andy Arndt are members of SAG-AFTRA. To keep up with new releases, visit vikeeland.com. This unabridged recording was produced in 2019 by Vi Keeland, who holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from the author. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.